In this appendix to Medieval Death Trip episode 120 about saints' lives, we will hear some brief lives of Saint Valentine and also Saint Valentine. So this appendix is being released in advance of episode 120 itself, because I'm still working on it, but I wanted to have a little treat for you for Valentine's Day. We will be hearing a series of short, capsule lives of Saint Valentine, or Valentinus, which is the typical format for accounts of this saint. There is a longer Passio, or Passion of Saint Valentine, a passion in the sense we use at Easter, an account of suffering and martyrdom, which is a narrative of a few pages in length and which may date back to the 6th century, though the earliest surviving copies of it that we have come from the 9th. But in general, Valentine appears not to have been a saint that early medieval people wrote extensive narratives about. The first thing to set up, though, is that this is not going to be a romantic journey. Despite many later efforts to trace celebrations of love or romance to the historical content or context of Valentine's feast on the 14th of February, there really is no genuine connection. A bit of lore, essentially concocted by some antiquarians of the Regency era, was that Valentine's Day occurred at about the same time as the Roman Lupercalia, a festival tied to fertility rites, and so the Pope in the late 5th century instructed Christians to substitute honoring Saint Valentine for the pagan celebration. There isn't any solid historical evidence to support that claim, but it still pops up frequently and without examination among items of Valentine's Day trivia. By the way, one of those antiquarians who proposed this speculative idea was Francis Douce, whose collection of medieval manuscripts was donated to the Bodleian Library of Oxford University, and as a part of manuscript labels, his name has appeared on this show several times, including the manuscript of Bede's Historia Ecclesiastica that also contained the Life of Kenelm we heard in episode 112. Anyway, what does seem to be true is that the general context of the anticipation of spring and the observed fertility of animals around this date, which was the basis for the Lupercalia and other fertility rites across cultures, was also recognized by medieval Christians, who used Valentine's Day as a reference date for that general theme simply because of where it was on the calendar, and not because of anything in the life of the saint himself. Geoffrey Chaucer is often credited with first making that link between love, or really lust, and Valentine's Day in his Parliament of Fowls, which we may have to dip into on a future Valentine's Day, but I'm not sure how safe it is to give him full credit for being the first. It's not unreasonable to think that Chaucer was tapping into an existing popular notion, though not one of any antiquity. Valentine's story is not one of love, but of martyrdom. He is a 3rd century martyr from the era of the Roman persecutions of Christians, and as such is just one among many. It is a little odd that today his name is one of the best-known saints, just because of the popularity the holiday has attained. For our 3 items today, we're going to work our way backwards in time from 2 15th century texts back to an 8th century one. To give you a sense of Valentine's place in the textual history of saints, we'll start with an account of the 8th persecution, as given in the Nuremberg Chronicle. This book, printed in 1493, was composed in Latin by German physician and humanist Hartmann Schiedel, drawing on sources from his own extensive library of classical and medieval texts. Though modeled after medieval chronicles, it's actually a very modern-feeling production here in the first half-century of the printing press's existence. Schiedel was commissioned to write/compile the text by the printers, so it was not a pre-existing manuscript. And at essentially the same time, the printers hired Georg Alt to produce a German translation of Schiedel's Latin, so both editions were printed and on sale within 6 months of each other. Interestingly, they printed more copies of the Latin version, but sold a greater proportion of the German one, roughly speaking about 65% of the Latin copies sold versus over 90% of the German ones. Yet another early testament to the printing press shifting learned discourse towards the vernacular. So this is not a particularly close source to the 3rd century, but it does provide a good overview of how that era of martyrdom was portrayed from the Middle Ages into the early modern era. As a historical source, there are a few chronological issues, particularly in terms of which Roman emperors it assigns events to, that we're not going to worry about. Obviously, there are also scholarly debates about the accuracy of Christian accounts of the persecutions. It's not questioned that persecutions happened, but specifics of just how extensive they were under any given emperor, or how targeted they were towards Christians in particular, as opposed to a range of mystery cults and minority religions in the empire, these are matters of some debate that, again, we aren't going to get into. The only thing I'll note is a problem with the emperor assigned to ordering Valentine's martyrdom, Claudius Gothicus, aka Claudius II, an assignment made long before Schedel and present even in the earliest source we'll hear today. The problem is that in the year most commonly given for Valentine's death, the year 270, the Emperor Claudius was across the Adriatic Sea on campaign against the Vandals, a campaign he had begun the previous year, and he died there. He was a soldier emperor, and did not spend much of his very short reign, of just a year and a few months, in the city of Rome, where he appears as a character in these Lives of Valentine. That's not a fatal flaw for accepting a basic factuality to these accounts, though. It's understandable enough for a chronicler and the preceding oral tradition to assign to the emperor himself a role perhaps played in reality by an imperial functionary. Nor would it be surprising for the wrong year to have been passed down, and thus the wrong emperor's name attached. We have archaeological evidence of a church of St. Valentine existing as early as the mid-4th century, so we have no real reason to doubt the existence of a real historical St. Valentine, though how well these stories tell what actually happened to him is anyone's guess. Also, as my opening hinted, there might also be two different St. Valentines, but we'll come to that. First, we'll get the full, gruesome rundown of the major martyrs of the 8th persecution as presented in the Nuremberg Chronicle, translated into modern English by Costa Hadavas and used under a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. The 8th persecution of the Church occurred at the behest of Emperor Valerian, who was the 8th persecutor after Nero. He managed to torture Christians and put to death those who refused to worship the idolatrous gods, although in the beginning he so respected the holy ones that his house was regarded as a church of God. Later, however, through a sorcerer in the black arts, he was influenced to disrespect the Christian religion and to carry on this persecution, the cruelties and disorders of which, through God's judgment, were in no small measure disastrous to the world. For not long thereafter, the Germans rose and with hostile purpose marched as far as Ravenna and devastated everything with fire and sword. Cyprian, the highly informed teacher of the church and bishop of Carthage, after long suffering, was on the 24th day of the month of September, by order of Valerian the emperor, martyred by beheading by Galerius Maximus the consul, a very cruel man. And it is said that in the same city, Crescentius, Victor, Rossula, and Generalis suffered with him. At first, Cyprian was a pagan and of extraordinary intelligence, well endowed with many arts. In the beginning, he taught oratory, and afterwards, on the advice of Cecilia, he adopted the Christian faith and gave all his possessions to the poor. He became a priest and was later made a bishop at Carthage. He rendered valuable service there through teaching, admonitions, and writings for the Church of Christ. His celebrated life was written in a book by Pontius, one of his priests and sharer of his exile. The head of Cyprian the Martyr is held in great veneration in the Church of St. Lawrence, in the imperial city of Nuremberg. He wrote many books, particularly upon the unity of the churches, and he was in accord with the Roman churches that penitent heretics should not be rebaptized, but were to be restored to grace by the laying on of hands alone. Lawrence, a Spaniard, adopted son and archdeacon of Pope Sixtus, after a virtuous career, suffered imprisonment at Rome under Decius or Gallienus, as well as various other forms of punishment. And there he made a blind man see and baptized Hippolytus. He was scourged with a leaden instrument and the scorpion, and these the church exhibits. One night, Valerian and Decius demanded that he worship the idolatrous gods, and he said, "My might is neither sinister nor dark, but all things shine in the light." After a hard blow on the mouth, he was cruelly roasted on an iron grill over a fire of burning coals on the 10th day of the month of August, and giving praise to God, he suffered martyrdom with fortitude. Justinus and Hippolytus buried the burnt corpse. Some say this Lawrence was the son of a Duke of Spain, whom the devil carried from his cradle into the woods. When the pious Sixtus preached in Spain, he found him, with God's intervention, under a laurel tree, and after the same tree named him Lawrence. And he reared him and taught him with great industry. And he took him, together with Vicentius, to Rome and made him an archdeacon. Sabellius was a heretic, after whom the Sabellian heresy was named. They hold that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were but one person. This heresy was filled with blasphemy of God the Father and of Christ. They denied that he, Christ, was a son of the Father on high. Out of this arose many differences and controversies in the church in the West and East. Nor did Sabellius escape the divine judgment, and he died shamefully. Hippolytus, a Roman patrician, was seized in the month and year in which he buried Lawrence and was severely tortured for a long time because he was a Christian. He would not worship the idolatrous gods and was beaten with clubs until the executioners became tired. At the command of Decius the emperor, Valerian, the governor, caused the entire household of Hippolytus to be beheaded in his presence. Hippolytus himself was tied by his feet to the necks of wild animals and thus cruelly drawn through the thistles and thorns until he died on the 13th day of August. Concordia was the nurse of the aforesaid Hippolytus. To her, the governor said, "Beware of your life, lest you die with your Lord." Immediately she answered, "We prefer to die with our Lord rather than live unchastely." And he caused her to be beaten with a leaden instrument until she died. Romanus, the soldier, suffered on the following day at the same place. This man permitted himself to be baptized during the confession of Lawrence in consequence of an angelic vision. Therefore, the judge ordered him to be beaten with clubs, and after his confession, caused him to be beheaded on the 9th day of August. His body was taken to the city of Lucca in Etruria, and there honorably buried. Quirinus, a Roman tribune, was executed with the sword in this persecution on the 30th day of March, after his tongue was cut out and his hands and feet were cut off on the Roman road called the Appian Way. Theodora, the virgin sister of the martyr Hermetius, was captured by Aurelian at this time and fearlessly underwent martyrdom. Valentine, a Roman priest, after giving evidence of exceptional learning and writing, was imprisoned by the emperor Claudius, and being asked his opinion concerning the pagan gods, said, "Jupiter, Mercury, and the other gods were miserable human beings." Afterwards, he enlightened the daughter of Asterius. He brought her and 49 persons of her household to the Christian faith. Finally, at the command of the emperor, he was severely beaten with clubs and was beheaded on the 14th day of the month of February. Cyrilla, a daughter of the emperor Decius and a good Christian, was also beheaded at this time with the sword, as histories state, on the 28th day of October. So, there you have quite a bit of death to get us to the beheading of Valentinus, or Valentine, on February 14th. If we hop back about a decade before the printing of the Nuremberg Chronicle, we can hear an English translation of one of the definitive versions of Valentine's life, the one included in the incredibly popular and influential Golden Legend, the Legenda Aurea, written by Jacobus de Voragine in the 1260s. This was one of the first books printed by William Caxton in his own English translation in 1483. We'll be hearing a lightly modernized version of Caxton's English, made by F.S. Ellis and published in the year 1900. Ellis still retains some of Caxton's word choices that would be archaic for a 21st century audience. Three that I'll gloss for you here are René, which means to renounce, to say nay again, méchant, a French borrowing that means bad or evil, and in lamen, a nice Latinate word that I can't find defined anywhere. I'd assume it comes from laminare, to laminate, basically to coat in a layer, or possibly even anoint in this context, though Caxton's spelling might also be misleading us, and perhaps enlamen is a variation on illuminate or something else light-related. But in the text, it's used in reference to filling a place with the presence of God, so it kind of works out the same either way. Here beginneth the life of Saint Valentine, and first the interpretation of his name. Valentine is as much to say as containing valor, that is, perseverant in great holiness. Valentine is said also as a valiant knight, for he was a right noble knight of God, and the knight is said valiant that fleeth not, and smiteth and defendeth valiantly, and overcometh much puissantly. And so Saint Valentine withdrew him not from his martyrdom in fleeing, he smote in destroying the idols, he defended the faith, he overcame in suffering. Of Saint Valentine the Martyr. Valentine, Saint Valentine, friend of our Lord and priest of great authority, was at Rome. It happed that Claudius the emperor made him to come tofore him, and said to him in demanding, "What thing is that which I have heard of thee, Valentine? Why wilt thou not abide in our amity, and worship the idols, and renounce the vain opinion of thy creonts?" Saint Valentine answered him, "If thou hadst very knowledge of the grace of Jesu Christ, thou shouldst not say this that thou sayest, but shouldst renay thy idols, and worship very God." Then said to Saint Valentine, a prince which was of the council of the emperor, "What wilt thou say of our gods and of their holy life?" And Saint Valentine answered, "I say none other thing of them, but that they were men, mortal, and méchant, and full of all ordure and evil." Then said Claudius the emperor, "If Jesu Christ be God verily, wherefore sayest thou not the truth?" And Saint Valentine said, "Certainly Jesu Christ is only very God, and if thou believe in him, verily thy soul shall be saved, thy realm shall multiply, and he shall give to thee alway victory of thine enemies." Then Claudius turned him unto all them that were there, and said to them, "Lords, Romans, hear ye how wisely and reasonably this man speaketh?" Anon, the provost of the city said, "The emperor is deceived and betrayed. How may we leave that which we have holden and been accustomed to hold sith our infancy?" With these words, the emperor turned and changed his courage, and Saint Valentine was delivered in the keeping of the provost. When Saint Valentine was brought in a house in prison, then he prayed to God, saying, "Lord, the life, Jesus Christ, very God, which art very light, enlamen this house in such wise that they that dwelt therein may know thee to be very God." And the provost said, "I marvel me that thou sayest that thy God is very light, and nevertheless, if he may make my daughter to hear and see, which long time hath been blind, I shall do all that thou commandest me, and shall believe in thy God." Saint Valentine anon put him in prayers, and by his prayers the daughter of the provost received again her sight, and anon all they of the house were converted. After the emperor did do smite off the head of Saint Valentine, the year of our Lord 280, then let us pray to Saint Valentine that he get us pardon of our sins. Amen. So, there you have a more elaborate narrative of St. Valentine's martyrdom than the one-paragraph version in the Catalogue of Persecutions from the Nuremberg Chronicle, though the gist is the same. Now, we jump back 7 centuries to one of the Venerable Bede's less often discussed works, his Martyrology, which is a list of martyrs in order of their feast days. Some items just identify the saint and where they're from, but some provide a brief narration of their life, and that is the case for Saint Valentine. Or, should I say, Saints Valentine and Valentine, because Bede identifies 2 different Valentines, a priest of Rome and a bishop of Interamna, which is modern Terni, Italy. According to Bede, these both have the same feast day, and they both die by beheading. Here's what Bede writes in my own translation from the Latin. "16 Calends of March, feast day of St. Valentine, the priest of Rome, who, after many acts of healing and distinguished teaching, was beaten with clubs and thus beheaded under Claudius Caesar. On the same day is the feast of St. Valentine, Bishop of Interamna, who, being seized by the pagans and beaten with rods, and after subjection to the long violence of imprisonment, being thrown out of prison in the silence of the middle of the night, when he could not be overcome, was beheaded by order of the furious Placidius, the prefect of the city. Then Proclus, Ephebus, and Apollonius, his disciples, transferring the body to his church in the city of Interamna by night, buried him. While they were brooding over their daily vigils, having been arrested by the pagans, they were handed over into the custody of the consul Leontius. In the middle of the night, he ordered them to be presented before his tribunal, and when they could not be recalled from the faith either by flattery or threats, he ordered their heads to be chopped off. They were buried not far from the body of St. Valentine. So, there you have beads to St. Valentine's. This does likely reflect the existence of two different stories that Bede encountered. One was almost certainly the passion narrative I mentioned earlier, which concerns the Bishop St. Valentine. And there's also an earlier story about a St. Valentine with most of the beats of the Golden Legend version, but expanded. This is contained within A Life of St. Marius and Martha, and this Valentine is identified only as a holy man of Rome, not specifically a bishop, and he has a different cast of associates. What do we do with this information? On the one hand, it's by no means impossible or even improbable that two martyrs from roughly the same time period might both be named Valentinus. For them both to die on the same date is less plausible. So we're left with a few possibilities. Either there were two different Valentines who were executed on the same day, unlikely. There were two Valentines, but one was absorbed into the feast day of the other, and then kind of forgotten as a separate entity by many later sources. That rates a maybe. And there may have just been one Valentine, about whom two different branches of a fundamentally similar narrative emerged, that led early medieval sources like Bede to think these were two different men, though later medieval writers seem to have collapsed them back into one person again. That feels a bit more on the likely side of the scale. And, of course, there's always the possibility that Valentinus is just a name that may or may not have been that of a real martyr, but for whom, regardless, the feast date and the narrative details are all basically later inventions. Now, as I said earlier, there's not really that much reason to doubt that there really was a 3rd century martyr named Valentine. Certainly, someone names a church after a Saint Valentine within 100 years given of the date for his death. But the fact that there's already confusion in our earliest surviving narrative sources about exactly who Saint Valentine was and which story matched up with him does not exactly inspire confidence in the details of the biography. But there you have a small sampling of the lives of Saint Valentine and also maybe Saint Valentine. Now, go eat some candy, and thanks for listening.